Look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Welcome back to this laid-back Friday edition of the Hagman & Hagman Report. Here we are talking about news items of interest and laying some groundwork, so some behind-the-scenes work about Freudian Tavistockian Nazi ideological impact of doctrines that includes Agenda 2030. And yeah, you know this, right? I know you know this, but what we have to do is match the methods, playbooks, plans, schemes, plots by the Luciferian elite with the current actions and activities and headlines. And if you go to HagmanReport.com, there's several selections laid out for you at HagmanReport.com that we're going to be talking about here shortly. Exorcism making a comeback. It's big news worldwide. You've got this war against the Washington elite. Or is it with Trump? You've got, of course, Trump at the center of rap music death threats. Have you seen the viral death threat video? Of course, don't you dare in Facebook talk about Christianity. Don't you dare talk about, the evils of homosexuality, of sodomy. Don't you dare do that. Or don't you dare talk about the abortion as being a crime against the unborn or murder. But if you want to throw up a video that virtually celebrates the or advocates the violent death of Donald Trump, especially by children of color, young people of color, I'm sorry, folks, that's the news. That's the way it is. It's a viral rap video of black teens armed with weapons. That's right. With songs, you know, that contain profanity, yeah, profanity-laced lyrics that include, you know, blankety-blank Trump anthem is one of the names of the songs. Now, InfoWars reported on this earlier. But, so this and everything else is connected to what we're talking about. And folks, we're being psychologically groomed for something to happen, I do believe, this summer. And if it doesn't, then plan B is in action, and that's just to, I believe that's to, create some other type of event, diversion, or some sort of something, some item that'll take away the threat of the non-establishment people. And do I believe Trump is non-establishment? Yeah, I kind of do. Or is all this smoke and mirrors? Is this the dog and pony show? Is Trump controlled? I believe if he's not controlled now, certainly in the Oval Office, he will be, or a person will be. The result, of course, being, if not controlled, the result would be a Kennedy-esque style episode, I believe. And then, so you might kick back and say, so what's the use? What's the use? Well, it buys us time. And by exposing this madness, by exposing the lawlessness, it buys us time. It's by exposing the wiles of the enemy, it buys us time. And plus, we're doing what we're appointed to do. Expose the evils of the evildoers. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. So I'm going to kick it back to Joe to wrap up the Agenda 21 mindset that's really laying the foundation for this global savior. Notice everything is global. Notice everything. The Pope, global religion. Billy Crone talked about this last night. Global religion. That's what it's all about. And so they're softening us up for, or psychologically conditioning us for that particular mindset.
Yeah, through behavior modification, through the green agenda, as Sheila Zelinsky's book,
yep, Green Gospel,
so well puts it, you know, to the UN's harmony with nature through their planetary initiative and the, you know, Agenda 2030. Anyway, we'll get into this more in other shows, but Alice Bailey, anybody can download this book, The Reappearance of the Christ, free on the internet. Just search The Reappearance of the Christ PDF. Read this. Because what this says, this is the new one world religion that they are bringing in. And they are bringing in this new one world religion for all human beings everywhere searching for a spiritual release and truth. But it is not an individual truth, they say, or one person's interpretation of the truth that will win out. It is
the collective
coming Antichrist. I'll say Antichrist where they say Christ. It is the coming time for the Antichrist. A man, a world teacher will be coming. They say it is humanity awaits the reappearance of the world teacher. The head of the spiritual hierarchy known as the Christ in the West, Lord Maitreya in the East, the Imam Mahdi.
In the Muslim community or in the Muslim world. Yep.
They say this, the concept of a world religion is the fusion of faiths is now, and the fusion of faiths is now a field of discussion in the future world. All men of spiritual inclination and intention will keep the same holy days, spiritual resources, and a united, simultaneous spiritual invocation, as well as a Christ consciousness on a universal platform. This new world religion will be built by emphasizing essential doctrine and the unity of fellowship of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get into this more on later shows as I continue to pour through Alice Bailey and Blavatsky's work. But what they say here is that the coming of the Christ will spell the doom of Christianity and those who endorse to spread the false teachings of this coming world savior. Because people, the remnant out there, you and me, will not accept this man as the savior.
Well,
we will be the example.
We hope not.
We will be the example. Those are the people who are... Here are the patience and faith of the saints, as it says in the book of Revelations.
Revelation.
I say that a lot in the Revelation. Who keep the word of the Lord and the testimony. And to those people who do not waver in the face of any threats, as it says in the scriptures, fear not the man who can take your body, but those who can take your soul. But the man who can take your soul.
Mm-hmm.
And that is only Jesus Christ that has the power to do that. So no matter how great or extraterrestrial, interdimensional this coming world savior seems to be, as Jesus said, as lightning comes from the east to the west, so too shall be the coming, my coming. It will be an instant in the twinkling of an eye. It says in the scripture, when they say Christ is in the desert, don't go. When they say he's over here, do not go, because they're going to do that. And it's going to be like the Bible says, no man might buy or sell, whether he's rich or poor, free or slave, lest he has the mark of the beast. And this coming world savior is what the new world religion is paving the way for, what the interfaith movement, the ecumenicalism, the Rick Warren type churches are opening the door for, this Luciferian doctrine.
And those people who are assailing Christians from within are also making it easy. You know, it's just imagine being on the battlefield and you're getting fragged from your own people from behind. This is taking place all the time, and Pastor Billy Crone talked about the secondary arguments and intellectual dishonesty among Christians, or you know, this obsession over non-essential salvation issues, creating this deepening, widening rift between Christians. This is all part of the plan.
Yeah,
because we can't get along.
Satan has attempted to pervert the church, its doctrine, and its people since the beginning of time.
That's right.
He will continue to do so, knowing that his time is short. In Revelation 12:11, and it says how they overcame them, or yeah. him, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, that ye dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down to you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath a short time.
Amen to that. All right.
Let's get into some
yesterday, Joe. Yesterday was the 11th anniversary. March 31st was the 11th year anniversary of Terri Schiavo. Okay. Her brother wrote an article for lifenews.com. Now, you might think this is, 11 years, it's so 2000s. Right? It's so long ago.
It does seem like a long time
ago.
Well,
it does. But here is what's important about this. Now, her death took 2 weeks. It took her 2 weeks to die, nearly, almost.
And the president...
Coach Dave was there.
And the president was the one who issued the ruling, right? To... I know there was a family battle. But
okay.
It involved... At the end of the day, the president got involved. Right?
Well, I'll walk you through this. At 26 years of age, Terri Schiavo experienced some sort of a inexplicable event. She collapsed while at home, and she was
stroke,
alone.
Aneurysm, some kind of.
Michael Schiavo became her guardian. You know, they just can't explain it. Okay. After a short period of time, Michael lost interest in caring for his wife. Now that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah, a husband who loves his wife, that would not happen.
All right, so Terry, she
lost interest?
Yeah, lost interest in caring for her. Okay, so this is Michael Schiavo, the husband of Terri Schiavo. So now Terry was not dying and didn't suffer from any life-threatening disease. She was just kind of in a coma. She was neither on machines, and she wasn't brain dead.
Which is
she
a
was
big
just
deal.
Unresponsive.
If you're not brain dead, and if you're not on machines,
You know what? Let me walk back the statement I made. She was responsive, and alert, and interacted with friends and family, and actually she started to speak all before. All before the decision was made to. And of course, her petition to starve her and dehydrate her to death. See, she was, although she was alert, interacted with friends and family, and was able to speak a tad. She was not able to care for herself. Okay, she was, and I was wrong when I said comatose. It was a brain injured type of paralysis, essentially. All right. Well. Her husband fictitiously, falsely portrayed Terry's situation as a right to die or end of life issue. This according to lifenews.com. All right. Anyway, after a number of years saying, look, they just really don't want to do this anymore. Can we just stop feeding and hydrating her? By the order, on the order of Judge George Greer, Florida, Terry was deprived of food and water. For 13 days, she died on March 31st, 2005, of dehydration. She died of thirst, and she died of starvation. And for reasons that are a little bit difficult to explain or appreciate, Terry's case received international attention, notwithstanding all the people and organizations who were working to prevent Terry from falling victim to those who are lovesick with her death, or... Terry was brutally killed. In other words, people took notice. Coach Dave went down there, was actually arrested, if I remember this correctly, from Coach Dave Dobmar, for attempting to take her water.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So
he was.
Okay, so here we had the President of the United States, the Pope, the Governor of Florida, celebrities, dozens of pro-life and disability rights organizations, millions of people worldwide, and yet some judge lets her, issues the order to let her starve and die of thirst. The removal of the feeding tubes from Terry Schiavo had been occurring for years. Those like Terry Schiavo have been occurring for years, despite the awareness of that Terry's case created. The outrage it caused, nothing much changed to stop this practice, this barbaric practice. And today it's getting worse. So if you're my age and you've got kids that don't like you or you think you're a hassle to deal with now, just wait, because the law will allow them.
I would never cut your Red Bull tube.
Yeah, my Red Bull tube. My purple stick tube. Anyway, you see, there's a powerful lobby out there setting an agenda which is committed to changing healthcare. And this is something that we all need to look at, because there's an initiative to change the system so that bureaucrats rather than family members will decide when, who, what, and really who and who's going to receive medical benefits and how and when. And we're seeing this too in the ERs. And if you notice this, for example, let's say you've got a pain issue. I mean, an acute pain issue. It could be a pancreatitis or pancreatitis or whatever you call that. You know, or it doesn't matter. Whatever pain issue. Have you noticed that the bureaucrats are now talking to doctors and saying, no, you can't be dispensing pain medication. Certainly, you can't be dispensing lots of pain medication. And if you do, we, the pain medication police, will come after you. Now, this is something that's near and dear to my heart. I've got a friend. And folks, you've heard me tell the story before. I got a friend. Her name is Charlotte. And she does not listen to this program. She is not ideologically on board with us. But she's got rheumatoid arthritis. She's in a wheelchair. She looks kind of like a female version of Stephen Hawking. And I say that with love, okay, just to give you a visual of this. But she's, when I say that, she's really twisted up with rheumatoid arthritis, and she's in constant 24/7 pain. Now, the doctors, on orders of the FDA, and the DEA, more accurately, the DEA, require her to be seen. She's bedridden or wheelchair-ridden, you know, whatever you want to call it. Require her to be seen every so often. And they've actually cut down her pain medication. And this woman she cannot move without having pain. I mean, this woman's got more problems than you know what to do with. All right, so, and she's in constant 24/7 pain. But they've cut her pain medication. Have you noticed what's going on with pain medication?
The FDA has...
Is it the FDA or DEA?
It is the FDA.
All right.
This much I know. I can pull this up here. The FDA has changed some policies and rulemaking abilities to cut back on the amount of pain medication prescribed, regardless... I mean, let's say you broke your arm and you had a bone sticking out of your arm. You know, you'd think that you would be able to get something for the pain before you get surgery, and after the surgery, right, have something for the pain for being cut open.
You would
think. Here's what they have done. They have limited the ability of doctors and have put an oversight, put doctors under a new type of oversight where they are held to a much higher criticism of why they're prescribing painkillers the way they are.
It's not a criticism. I think
they're a much higher
analysis. Yeah,
yeah, and it's getting to. I mean, you know, we have the longest war in our history as a country. The war in Afghanistan.
It's a war against drugs.
It is the war of drugs for the right of the U.S. to create the. You know, opium has increased its production in Afghanistan since we invaded. I don't know how many hundreds of times, but it's at the highest level ever, heroin epidemic is at the highest levels they've ever been here in the United States, directly related to the military and what they've been doing in Afghanistan. See, I'm not blaming military individuals.
No, that's right.
Because a lot of them might not even know what they're doing. I have a friend who's not over there anymore, but was in Afghanistan. Saw a helicopter being loaded with containers. A container fell. One of it opened up. It was heroin.
And we've had guests on who talked about the heroin shipments. And, of course, Barry Seal. And you know, look, this is big business. But here's where I have the problem with this, all right? You've got this this effort, this so-called effort against the pain, or this agenda against pain medication, opioid use.
Right, because there is lots of abuse.
Well, you know what?
On,
so
at the same
what?
Time...
So what? Tobacco is abused. Alcohol is abused. Everything's abused.
You cannot penalize those who have legitimate need right. of certain medications so, because of the abuse of others.
I don't know how you guys feel about this, but I look at my friend and this woman who's in pain, and they make her jump through hoops just to get whatever pain medication she's on. And I don't, to be honest with you, I don't know what it is, but here's my suggestion. Those people making the laws ostensibly to protect others from this, you know, prescription abuse. So when you get to be infirmed and crippled with rheumatoid arthritis, here's what we're going to do to you, the people who are making the laws right now. We're going to tie a, what's the flavor? Oxycontin? What's the pain medication?
Oxycontin. That's one, yeah.
Okay. We're going to tie that to a fishing line or a string. So when you're suffering with, you know, the people who made these laws and are making the doctors squirm, okay?
I mean,
we're going to tie it to a fishing line, and I'm going to put it on the floor and make you crawl. I'm just going to pull on the line and make you crawl in pain for your pain medicine. That's what we're going to do to you.
Last year, there was an article how new federal rules...
Well, that's not Christian-like. Well...
How new federal rules have made it harder for veterans to get specific painkillers that they have depended on to treat a wide variety of ailments such as missing limbs and post-traumatic stress. The restrictions adopted last summer by Drug Enforcement Administration, so you're right there, I guess the FDA was just creating the guidances that the DEA used to follow and implement the law. The DEA wanted to curb the national epidemic of opioid abuse, and for the first time, in effect, forcing veterans to return to the doctor every month to renew their medication. No more can you get a refill on any type of pain medication.
Yeah,
you have to see your doctor every single time. Right. These new rules also propose new hardships for people who live distances from health centers and have other transportation-related issues, and that's just one small facet of this story. This also is applying tighter regulations to everyone on opioid painkillers, specifically and especially veterans, they say, in this article. But it goes on beyond that. I got a new doctor at the beginning of last year, and the first thing they said to me, they said, yes, we have openings, and your wife can become patients of ours, but we don't prescribe painkillers.
But did you even ask?
No.
So it was just, come on in, but wait...
I said, okay. Fine.
It's like saying, well, you can be a patient of ours.
If I need painkillers, I'll probably be in the emergency room anyway, so what's the matter to me?
But see, this is near and dear to me, and not because I have any love affair with painkillers.
It's a gun issue.
I mean, come on, man. I'm looking at a woman in a wheelchair, twisted up, in pain, can't move. It hurts to even think. And some bureaucrat's telling a doctor, her doctor, what he can and can't prescribe her.
Right.
And you know, and it's only getting worse. And that,
you know what it's
goes back
you know
to Terry Schiavo.
Instead of opioid abuse being prevalent, heroin overdose deaths are increasing.
But why?
So much because of the cutbacks of opioids.
Right.
From doctors.
Okay, and that's a good point. See, so we're going to cut off the legitimate drugs by legitimate physicians or make them so terrified to prescribe people, because the woman would have to, you know, go in and even then I'm sure there's a question. And the doctors are scared to death of losing their licenses that they've got probably, you know, 25, you know, gazillion dollars invested in. So we're going to err on the safe side and make you just keep you in pain. So
and the FDA and CDC did just release 2 weeks ago their guidelines for prescribing opioids for chronic pain in the United States 2016. And the guidelines represent the CDC's contribution to the ongoing debate about appropriate treatment of pain. And while the guidelines are voluntary, they will be influential in opioid therapy for chronic pain. They go on to say the following.
Okay, chronic and acute pain are two different things. I mean, chronic pain, I still believe that if you're a person that is not abusive to whatever pain medication, you're in chronic pain, so get chronic pain medication. I don't see a problem with that. But what you said earlier, and I know you're going to make a point here, but what you said earlier, the secret cabal of the government's into the heroin and opium industry, so let's cut off the legitimate routes and get the people dependent on the more, you know, problematic drugs like heroin, and the rest will die. The ones that aren't going to turn to the criminal element they're going to die from either blowing their brains out because they can't stand them, you know, they can't stand the pain, or die, you know, prematurely. So this is all, to me, this has nothing to do with making sure people don't OD. This is all about genocide and or not genocide, but eugenics.
Well, the physicians are angry at the. I mean, they're upset that they're not able to better help their patients. Now, some of the recommendations in the new guidelines. Here's three principles that are key to improving patient care. They said non-opioid therapy is preferred for chronic pain outside of active cancer, palliative and end of life care. Two, when opioids are used, the lowest possible dosage should be prescribed to reduce the risk of abuse, opioid abuse and overdose. And three, providers should always exercise caution when prescribing opioids and monitor all patients closely. In developing these guidelines, the CDC followed a rigorous scientific process using the best available scientific evidence, consulting with experts, and listening to comments from the public and partners. Yeah,
but see, marijuana is okay though. You know, in Colorado, marijuana.
Well, actually, I mean, I would say that would be an alternative for people who have pain. You know, it is nothing like what, you know, painkillers do for you. But does it help pain?
But see,
yes, it does.
Isn't it bipolar of the government to do that?
Oh, absolutely. I think Ron Paul said it best when he talked about the laws of government and the war on drugs. In 2008, I believe it was, he said, you know, he was mocking the government. He said, oh yeah, I need the government to make these laws because, you know, if heroin wasn't illegal, I'd go use it today. So government make a law so I'm not, you know, I don't turn myself into a junkie.
Yeah, it's, you know, boy, I'll tell you, I want to shoot someone. So make sure you hide the bullets and the guns, because if you don't, then you're responsible for me picking up a gun and loading it and going out and shooting someone, right? That's, it's just backwards to me. And I guess the point is this.
Well, you know who's behind these papers on the CDC?
CDC or the FDA?
Both.
All right.
You know who's getting involved in these things?
No.
How about the Ford Foundation?
Okay, so why though? What's the end game here?
What's the end game?
Yeah, why are they doing this?
Because when they have...
It's about money?
No. It's about your soul. Because pretty soon, medicine, as we know, the healthcare system, has been changed to a point where you now must have health insurance or you pay a fine. There is coming a point where you must have health insurance or you will not be able to have a bank account.
Well,
you want your...
Folks, are you in that position? Do you see that position?
You want your chronic
place?
Pain to be managed the way it was? Well, you have to take this mark.
Well, that ain't going to happen.
Well, then prepare to be in pain. I mean, really. What they're doing is they're conditioning the American people to go along with their regulations and laws, regardless of how unconstitutional, regardless of how evil they might be, as we've seen with the Supreme Court opinion of homosexual marriage, them saying that, you know, it will not affect people's jobs or whatever, belief systems, or make people who believe certain ways do something against those beliefs, how quick that turned around. What they're doing is behavior modification.
And that's a larger thing, yeah, that's right.
And how they're doing it is through science. They're doing this through scientific studies, and basically we are lab rats. They're gathering a deeper understanding of how and why we make the decisions we do and have the behavior we have. And through collaborations at local, state, federal, and international levels, they are studying realistic constraints and mechanisms and regulatory processes for how to control human behavior through legislation.
Right. Okay, so why did I bring up Terry Schiavo? Why did I bring up the pain medication issue? Why now? Why amidst all this geopolitical morass that we're in, why is this important? Because of the 11th anniversary of Schiavo, just consider this. Here's what the healthcare system has done. Here's what this Obamacare has done. And it's just not Obamacare. It's the degenerates behind it. Here's what it's done.
Yeah, it's not just
food and water by way of feeding tubes. They were once considered and classified as basic, routine, ordinary medical care. So now, think about this. If you've got, and I know somebody on a feeding tube who's actually alert, alive, it's temporary. But now that's classified as extraordinary care or extraordinary medical treatment. And because of this, it is now legal in every U.S. state, according to our laws, to remove or deny feeding tubes from individuals. And as a result, that will kill them by dehydration and starvation. That's the ethics committees that rule this Western medical practice. Ethics committees exist throughout our healthcare system. And you know what? They're given this unilateral power to decide whether or not somebody is going to receive medical treatment, especially when there's a dispute between the family and the hospital. So,
remember,
hey, guys.
A 6-year-old girl, Kathleen Sebelius, recently, or a few years ago when Obamacare first kicked in, that she had to decide whether the 6-year-old girl was going to get care or not?
I do remember something about that.
Well, I'll have to find that case, and we'll have to look over that.
Well, look, this is just the tip of the iceberg, because, folks, especially in my age range, which is 25 to 34, or not, I don't know. Did I just say that?
Yeah.
Look, last month there was a poll taken. The Journal of Medical Ethics, they published a survey revealing that 76% of the neonatologists thought it was ethically permissible to issue a DNR, or do not resuscitate, without asking or notifying the parents when they felt it impossible for the child to survive. Well, here's the kicker. The word felt. All right. I'm not so sure. And you know what? We're going to decide. We will decide. Not the parents. Do you want extraordinary? Do you want... Should we attempt to revive this child? That's what a neonatology is the care for infants. It's ethically permissible to issue a DNR or don't attempt to resuscitate without even notifying or asking the parents whether they felt it. Regardless, we don't have to talk to the parents. In 2015, now consider that 20 states were considering legalizing physician-assisted suicide. What have we come to in this state, in this condition? 26 states, more than half, were considering legalizing physician-assisted suicide. Remember the outcry with Kevorkian? What happened to that outcry?
No.
We were conditioned. See, we were conditioned, weren't we?
Oh, yeah.
We were played.
The same liberals that, you know, called him, you know, a murderer are the same ones who are calling for death panels today. How does that make sense?
If you go to the Netherlands and you look in Europe, and especially in the Netherlands, there was a reporter who recently wrote that the mentally ill, the people with Alzheimer's, babies with disabilities, babies that are sick, they may last a year or two, whatever. And even the older people who are just tired of living. The chronically ill, the people with disabilities, the terminal, they're all now killed by doctors. Did you hear what I just said?
Can't repeat that.
Okay, so consider this. When you look at Europe, and this is coming to America, and is in particular the Netherlands, and a research was conducted by a journalist who found that the mentally ill, Alzheimer's patients, babies with serious disabilities, or even terminal illnesses who may or may not last a year, two, 3 years, whatever. The older people who are tired of life, that's right. Yeah, I'm just tired of life. I'm tired of living. People with disabilities, anyone who is chronically ill, the terminally ill, they are all now killed by doctors.
Hospice.
No, not is hospice. No.
End of life care?
It's called hospice. Termination without request or consent.
Well, I know this is separate from what you're talking about.
Yes, yes.
Hospice is basically the... I don't know. I'll say legal, but
it's
medical
palliative care. Hospice is palliative care to make the exit of life. And hospice is good for families, and we've used hospice.
No, yes, we have used hospice. And
hospice,
I'll tell you what.
Good.
When I was living with my grandmother, taking care of her, and hospice came in, they would load her up with morphine to the point where she was not conscious at all. I'd have to take her off the morphine so she could function again. She was in and out of the hospital intensive care many times. And there is a time, obviously, when it's a person's time to go, they go. But, who is a human being to decide another human being's time is up?
Well, I understand what you're saying.
Countless emails we've received from people about this, about hospice. And maybe we can talk about this on Wednesday when we have our call-in show.
Yeah, if you've had experiences with this, but I'll tell you something. Well, that's fine. That goes to another type of psychological aspect of things where the European model is coming to the United States in certain areas where, okay, hospice is... They want to accelerate the dying process in some cases. Now, I'm not. I'm getting in yeah. some cases. In
and
some cases.
To continue on the hospital.
All right, but anyway, you look at Terry Schiavo, and this is what they have a Life and Hope Network in order to raise awareness and educate the public. Okay, and to help families whose loved ones are in need of protection. See, Coach Dave Dobmeier went out there to protect the life of Terry Schiavo when, in fact, no one else would, and he was arrested for trying to do that. My point is this. What we're seeing is everything in Europe coming to the United States through the Obama model of health care, through the Clinton model of health care, and at the end of the day, because of what we're seeing with Obamacare, this new health care, they are striving for a single-payer system, which is nothing more than socialism and communism, basically, because this Obamacare cannot sustain itself. So
no,
it's going to have to go to a single, this was the intent all along, to go to a single payer system, which is, again, a socialistic form of medicine in this country. And the only people who are going to be allowed to live and allowed to die are those people who will be selected for that privilege. And it's going to be a privilege because they have now changed some of the most basic fundamental medical care, food and water via feeding tubes, into extraordinary or extraordinary care or extraordinary medical treatment. That's the bottom line here. And that does include, the reason I brought this up, that does include this reclassification of certain drugs to class 2 narcotics. And if you don't think that this is an important issue right now, especially with our aging demographic, you're wrong. Because they want, there's two classes of people, two orders of people they want to get rid of. That's the very old, well, three actually, three types. The very old, the impaired, chronically impaired, and the very young. Why? Well, because the rest can be useful workers. Oh, and the mentally impaired too. I should throw that in there. Because the rest can be used as the worker bees for this elite populace. That's the Georgia Guidestones model. That's what the Georgia Guidestones were saying. That half a billion people, do you think that includes your 92-year-old grandmother or your 78-year-old grandfather or even your 65-year-old father who's got diabetes? No. That's the whole purpose. This is the whole enchilada here of what we're talking about tonight. It's the modeling of it's a modeling of this society. It's a modeling of this model, this progressive model of healthcare. And if you don't think this is important, wait until you get sick, because you're going to find this out. Oh, and you're right, Joe. You're correct. You are correct because, see, if you don't sign on the dotted line and accept Obamacare, you ain't going to get care. And oh, but see, it's not going to stop there because of the mass illegal invasion in this country. We are not sure if Miguel Rodriguez is actually Miguel Rodriguez or, you know, Ansi El-Shabaab is actually that person. So we're going to issue ID cards, but wait, the ID cards can get stolen, lost, and otherwise counterfeited. So here's what we need to do. We need to give you a chip. That way, unless they cut it off you, cut it out of you, you're fine. And it's going to be so convenient because you can just, not only for healthcare, but for everything. But the backstory is what we just said. And these little pieces of data, these little, small, little, oh, it's so boring, it's insignificant. Terry Schiavo, 11 years ago, big deal. What does that have to do with anything right now? It has everything to do with right now. Oh, Agenda 2030, that's just so far in advance. What does that have to do with everything right now? Stack and pack containers. Well, that's where the remaining half billion are going to live and how they're going to live. While they're working for the 0.1%. Yeah, it's not 1% anymore. It's a 0.1%. And, oh, back to the elections? Yeah. Back to the elections, right? Folks, watch Cleveland. Okay, the information today from sources, multiple sources, two, to be precise, are telling me, watch Cleveland for a series of events that will really shut down that city during the convention.
You know, DHS gave them a $50 million grant, which they used to purchase riot gear.
Yep, yep. Specifically for riot gear.
Yep.
Not for you know, extra personnel. No, no. Not for, you know, extra meter maids.
For full riot suits.
Yep.
For crowd dispersal technology. Sound weapons.
Yep.
MRAPs.
Yep.
We are 100 miles outside of Cleveland?
90 miles.
That's too close.
90 miles.
That's too close.
Yeah, but according to the information I received from my two sources, bottom line, and I'll be talking more about this as information does come to me, but we expect to see something take place. Now, my question was, will it take place within the Republican Party that'll cause some sort of demonstration outside of the RNC or the convention in Cleveland, or will it be some external threat that'll be created to cause some sort of issue with in Cleveland itself? And the answer is yes. Huh? Yeah, no, they're looking at both scenarios. And who's looking at this? Well, the very people who are trained, like Joe said, some of the street level police officers who are getting this information secondhand or actually from higher ups. That's what we're looking at. So, but what about then? What about the Democratic convention? Well, apparently, they're not expecting any type of problem there.
Are they even expecting people?
Yeah, but apparently Hillary Clinton's got everything all sewn up. But what about her pending indictment? What about the FBI investigation? What about all of this? Apparently the FBI really is powerless.
She'll be able to pardon herself once she's president.
Yeah, Well, that was the other issue too. Will she be take the nomination? Will it be Sanders? There's no way it's going to be Sanders, according to my sources, because Sanders has no way to win, especially in the South, based on, there's no way to win in the South. Now, is there a third candidate possibility? Yes. Much like the Republicans, but will that take place? No. Probably not. It's been preordained, and by that I mean pre-selected. You're talking about the CFR, the Trilateral Commission, the external or the world component, and the CFR, the U.S. component, looking at the in the Bilderberg Group and such. Those groups who are setting up shop here and deciding who will be the nominee. And according to the sources I have too, Trump is not going to be one of them. All right, on the Republican side. Now, I don't know.
What happens if it comes out, with, let's say the worst case scenario for Cruz, he is, it does come out that he did have some kind of extramarital affair.
Well, if you're a Republican, it's horrid because, you should, anyone who stands for family values, if in fact a Republican does anymore or a conservative does, then you're not practicing what you preach. And,
right.
And you're a hypocrite, and of course you can't be trusted based on that. But if you're a Democrat or a progressive, they expect they forgive you. It's no big deal. Look at Clinton.
See, right? And people
need to, doesn't matter in that respect.
People need to understand that at this convention, if they have a brokered convention, people who did not run in the election can be the nominee.
Right. Whoever, let's say no one, and I just want to make sure people understand this. If there's no one particular candidate that gets 1,237 delegates by the convention, the field goes, I'm simplifying it, but it goes wide open. And you can actually have a Romney or a Jeb Bush be put in there by the people, by the powers that be. This is what Dave Hodges was talking about on, Tuesday? Monday?
Mm-hmm. Tuesday.
Tuesday. All right, this is what Dave Hodges was talking about on Tuesday. And we got some blowback from that program. Oh, unbelievable blowback from that program on Tuesday. Unbelievable. In fact, I think Dave Hodges wrote about it. But the fact of the matter is, and I know if you're listening, ma'am, feel free to weigh in. And you know who I'm talking about. You know you're.
They're going to weigh in.
Okay. Actually, Dave Hodges mentioned the state. We have a wife of a state leader of, or at the state level of a RNC or Republican National Committee member who listens to the program. Pretty influential, pretty high up person in the RNC. Who said, "Wait a minute, my husband didn't say what you said he said." Well, I'll tell you what. When I saw, and Dave Hodges forwarded me the correspondence that she wrote him, saying, "No, my husband didn't say what you said. He said." So I was watching. I pulled out a couple of videos, and that one from CNBC saying where he said, "We choose the candidates, not the people."
Yeah, you told
me
that.
No. That's true because and it is true. That they do. You were living not in a democracy where the people choose the candidates or the nominees. It's the delegates who choose the nominees. So we have to understand that this is a representative republic where delegates elect or vote on the nominee, select the nominee. But we the people entrust the delegates to do that based on our wishes, the popular vote. Again, the nominees are not elected by popular vote. They're elected by electoral vote, which, hence, this is the definition of a representative republic. It's not a democracy. A democracy is mob rule, and if there's 51 votes in favor of Eric the Tech to be president, then the 49 have to suck it up.
I'll cast my vote for him.
Right. If nominated, you will not accept, and if... Or if nominated, you will not run? No, okay.
He can be president, but he still has to be our tech.
But see, yeah. So, anyway, and we're not being satirical here in terms of this policy. But the fact of the matter is, and I do fully expect there to be games to be played with the selection process, and I do believe Trump will be the odd man out. Now, there's a big deal here with respect to what Trump said about the about women and abortions, and about I don't know how many folks had saw that where Trump said, "Oh, women who get abortions should be punished."
Illegal abortions.
Okay, well, he walked that statement back.
He said illegal abortions.
Illegal. See, the problem here with all of the candidates, with the exception, I think, of Tom Hoefling that we had we interviewed, and also Mike Huckabee, who's not running. With the exception of those two people, I have not heard any candidate say, if elected, they would enforce the 5th and 14th Amendments by closing the infanticide chambers, the murder chambers of Planned Parenthood and other clinics who kill babies and to kill the unborn and babies. So we just go on and accept it.
We got an email here from Mary T about the when I was reading from the Harmony with Nature document from the United Nations.
Right.
And she titles it Right to Life. She says, "Hi, Doug and Joe. I find it to be the height of hypocrisy that one of the first rights you mentioned for Mother Earth is the right to life. Seriously. So we can murder our babies.
That's right.
But do not harm Mother Earth."
You're right. You're right on the money. This is this mass Freudian Nazi ideological brainwashing. And you might think it's crazy to connect all of those together, but that's what it is. This occult worship of Mother Earth. And it is extremely occult. You go back to Earth Day. I think it was on my birthday back in 75. It started in the mid 70s. This is all, look, folks, this is big. This is important stuff. All right. This is not just idle chatter. This is important stuff, but, how many people, and right before the top of the break, I want to know how many people fell for their April Fool's joke. Somebody pull an April Fool's joke on you today? Did they?
Not yet. Thankfully.
Eric, the tech? Did anyone? Yeah? Oh. Has there been a coup?
Usually.
I just want to know, did anyone out in our vast listening audience, I'm looking out here in our vast in-studio listening audience, let me see here, the woman in the sixth row back, second seat, blue sweater, black hair, yeah.
You'd think the news, the Daily News was a April Fool's joke, the way we see it, what the titles are, how crazy it's becoming. We got more news on the chalkings.
I just wonder how many
chalkings of 2016. Pro-Trump chalk messages cause conflict on college campuses. This from the New York Times today. It's funny. It is. But this is a different type of chalking. People are actually standing up for Donald Trump and the right of free speech.
I remember last time,
saying
last chalking,
time
I remember
where
was ISIS bodies.
ISIS is prevalent and their violence all over the social media. Well, be offended by chalking is appalling.
Well, I was offended by the chalk outline of a body, one time. Does that count? No, of course not. But anyway, look, we're almost at the top of the hour. I just, again, don't forget, folks who are listening, especially in the western half of the country, today's April Fool's Day. At least some of the lesser people among us are lesser. Some people like to pull pranks on April Fool's Day, right?
Well, this isn't a prank. This is something you'd be interested in. I found this document and skimmed through it. Don't know the value of it, but this is Nazi Gold, NSA, and Nazi Gold, New Kids on the Block. Mm-hmm. Personal experiences of an NSA historian and the Nazi Gold. Where'd you go? And the Nazi Gold. Come on.
Well, don't forget, Nazi Gold did include, and I reference this in my book, the teeth, or the gold taken from the teeth of those people put in the ovens.
Yeah, it talks about that.
Yeah, and it's a horrific thing. Too, but.
Yeah, the New Kids on the Block, personal experiences of an NSA historian and the Nazi Gold Report, January through May 1997. And it talks about the declassified, 400 recently declassified Translations of Swiss diplomatic cables from 1946 had been found in the archives of the NSA.
And we're getting more and more information about the Nazis and about the occult practices and about their wealth and about their other occult practices.
I'm going to email this to you. We're going to be right back.
You're going to be joined by Mike from
Hear the Watchman.
Yeah, just to talk about what happened in Dallas.
Stay with it.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.